It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, August 1st, the Fantasy Footballers. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, the Deucers in the building as well. And here we are, it's August.
It's time.
You gentlemen excited for what is to come? The Hall of Fame game.
Very much so. I don't care. I will. I think I'll watch it, I guess. I mean, I'll probably tune in and then be like, this is not very good. It's not very good.
Oh, that's what this thing is. Yeah, now I remember.
They tricked me again.
We're into five shows a week. We'll be here with you every single day, and that will go through the end of the football season. So we kick it off today. We have a mock draft show on today's episode.
Yes,
sorry, mock draft on today's episode.
Yeah, and to the person who recently messaged on Twitter, they said, "Hey, are you guys going to do any more mock draft shows?" Yeah,
thank you, Mike.
We are.
We're answering the bell. Couple reminders here at the top. We have a lot of news to talk about as well. Some craziness took place over the weekend. But first, a reminder, the Ultimate Draft Kit, available right now, ultimatedraftkit.com. Your drafts are coming. Be prepared. Be ready to win. Set the foundation for your team at the draft with the Ultimate Draft Kit. You don't win your league at the draft, but you set yourself up for a lot of success.
You can lose it at the draft.
Right.
You can make a lot of mistakes. And the nice thing is, I know a lot of people, they'll grab the UDK the morning of the draft, and that can work. But right now, on August 1st, if we got a couple weeks, there's so much information in there, so much good toilet time that you can have to yourself for this month. Let's make August great.
Agreed. So you can check that out, ultimatedraftkit.com. When you do draft, you can plug your team in or import your team, get the draft analyzer to give you a grade, let you know where to take your team once the season begins. You can find us on X. Oh, gosh.
X marks the spot.
I have to say it, right?
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the FF Ballers. And don't mistake my sigh for caring. I mean, it doesn't really matter in any way, shape, and form other than the annoyance of, like, I've got a good 9 years now of saying, follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers. Really, this impacts my routines.
It does.
X going to give it to you over there.
Going to give you our posts.
Our posts, yeah. At the FF Ballers, Jason's at JasonFFL. You can follow Mike at FF Hitman. I'm at Andy Holloway, and we're on Instagram as well. You can watch the show on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballer. Subscribe, click the bell. All right, let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, the big news from the weekend was the Jonathan Taylor escapades.
Oh, man.
And let's catch you up here and then tell you what happened over the weekend. Jonathan Taylor is heading into the final year of his rookie contract. Jonathan Taylor said previously in the offseason he's under contract. He put pen to paper. He's going to play. He proceeded to fire that agent, hire a new agent. All of this running back situation has proliferated throughout the league where there have J.K. Dobbins is very upset.
Josh Jacobs is not in training camp, being on the franchise.
Saquon just barely went from upset to content. And so we have this situation where now Jonathan Taylor's not happy with his contract. And so that's where we stood. There was reports of Jonathan Taylor meeting with Jim Irsay, the magnificent owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Tremendous communicator. You know, just really easy to get along with.
Makes definitely not in his own world. And so there was reports of him meeting with Jonathan Taylor for over an hour at training camp. Jonathan Taylor had been on the PUP and currently is. After that meeting, it became public that he had requested a trade days before. Then Jim Irsay came out and said, we're never trading him. Not even in October, we'll never trade him. Then, the next chapter, the Colts are considering placing Jonathan Taylor on the non-football injury list as a bit of gamesmanship, it seems, because if he's on that list due to an injury suffered away from training camp and the team, his contract will not toll. They could deny him any amount of money they want, and he would be under the team's control for another year.
They're really taking good care of him, you know?
Yeah. Then he came out and said, and this is from his official Twitter account.
Number, X account.
Sorry, thank you, Mike. X account. Number one, never had back pain. Number two, never reported back pain. Not sure who the sources are, but find new ones. Well, he's saying he's fine. And here we are. And if you have Jonathan Taylor in your leagues, you should be freaked out because there are pretty bad outcomes in play here for Jonathan Taylor. Now, the best outcome, is it a trade? Is it just, hey, we're actually fine with each other because I threw some incentives in your deal and I'll let you go next year? I mean, because this is the final year of his rookie deal, but he could be franchised. They could play the Saquon card,
but
Josh Jacobs card.
I'm curious. I mean, number one, I'll start with this because Jonathan Taylor, you know, he said he's good with his contract. Then the guy got really hurt last year and, I mean, is still dealing with some stuff for the ankle. And I think he's realizing, oh, crap, what if I get hurt again and I can't get a contract? So I think he's realizing the situation that he's really in, which is it's an unfortunate situation to be in. I think he's going to play. I think he will be on the Colts and – We've kind of discussed Jonathan Taylor of the he's an incredible running back. He's up against it with a rookie and a mobile quarterback who will be at the helm for the Colts. So he might be a little bit overpriced for his ADP. Still think he'll be really good for fantasy football, but maybe a little bit drafted a little too high. I'm wondering if he's doing all this right now, then plays out the season. This is like he's hoping to get a contract extension. But this could be if you are thinking about franchising me after this year, mm-hmm. I'm going to raise hell. So do not do this. I'm doing this right now. I'm letting you know a year in advance. Do not franchise me. And I don't know if that will work, or I don't even know if that's the case, but that's what it seems like to me, trying to be a psychologist and a detective.
I don't think you want to play chicken with Jim Irsay. He's the one that's like
he will crash.
He will crash. Yes. He will go straight. He'll go.
He'll eat the chicken raw. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, he's not to be
trifled with. Yes.
Here's what I'll say. I think it's a lot like the Josh Jacobs and Raider situation. In so fact as both parties are responsible for their circumstance. I don't think it's all Josh Jacobs' fault. I don't think it's all the Raiders' fault. I don't think it's all Jonathan Taylor's fault. I don't think it's all Jim Irsay's fault. To his credit, this was the guy who paid Andrew Luck his full $24 million after he suddenly retired. Didn't hold that money back. but he also doesn't want to be played chick. He doesn't want to be pushed up against the wall like this. And so you're having these butting heads.
And historically, the Colts and running backs, they
don't pay them.
They don't pay them, yeah.
And they've offered no contract, to be clear. That's another thing that came out publicly. They have made zero contract offers of any kind to Jonathan Taylor. And so for whatever reason, and obviously he has a new agent with a different game plan, right? Because that's how a lot of these situations are. It's a gamesmanship to get...
It's posturing.
Yeah, you want to posture. You know, he requested a trade 3 or 4 days early. Then we bring it public after this meeting. So a lot of that, you know, I don't think this NFI thing would hold up if he's really not hurt.
Yeah, it does.
So it's more another posturing publicity move to make Jonathan Taylor look bad. So we don't know where Jonathan Taylor's playing. And what's crazy to me is, and I don't know if you guys have spent the time thinking about it, if they trade Jonathan Taylor or he's held out for a part of the season, where are we in that backfield in Indianapolis?
Well, we have another update to that as Zach Moss, who they had traded for last year. They acquired him from the Buffalo Bills, sending Nyheim Hines over there. He would have presumed to be the starter. It should Jonathan Taylor miss any amount of time. Well, he broke his forearm. So he is expected to miss, you know, about 6 weeks. I mean, as long as it's just a clean break, you miss the time and you come back. But that's still, I mean, now we're right up against the season for a guy who's now going to miss all of training camp, all of preseason, and you're looking at the roster behind those guys. Deion Jackson, who got some play last year, can catch the ball a little bit. Evan Hull
is currently listed behind Zach Moss as the third running back.
Yeah, and Evan Hull has a pass-catching profile. He's a rookie.
Jake Funk in the house?
Is Jake Funk there?
Jake Funk is there.
Oh man, we want the funk. But it's,
I don't know if we want the funk, no, man. No.
Evan Hull was a fifth rounder this year. It's not good. Losing Zach Moss is like, if you were just talking posturing, this is something that went right for Jonathan Taylor, at least to maybe flex some leverage.
Are we sure that Jonathan Taylor was not involved in the accident with Zach Moss?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we are of course sure. Because if Jonathan Taylor missed time, he would want Zach Moss on the field. Oh. He would want him out there going, do you see what you got?
Jason, the guy just broke his arm.
Oh, look, I'm so sorry about that, but this is good news for the Colts is what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all my point was.
No, we got the point.
Because Zach Moss is bad at football. Oh.
No, yeah, but yeah, you're saying he's better with a broken arm.
He's better off the field. It's just, you know, it's addition by subtraction.
What is this?
I don't know.
When the news came and it was like, oh, he broke his arm.
At
like,
Jason
he's still
FFL.
NFL?
At Jason FFL.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Moss.
Here is why the Seahawks always draft running backs every single year. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet both dealing with injuries. Kenneth Walker is dealing with the first groin injury of the year.
Mm. Groinindex.com. It is updated.
It's up to date?
Oh, it's always up to date, Mike.
So they're waiting on that. And then Zach Charbonnet.
It's just him.
Yeah.
It's just Kenneth Walker on groinindex.com. Yeah. Zach Charbonnet is dealing with a shoulder injury. He's out indefinitely. Here is Pete Carroll's direct quote about the rookie. We'll take some time to figure it out. It just kind of crept up on him, really. He didn't get hit or anything. Just all of a sudden, he started feeling something. So we're checking him out and being really cautious. I don't love that.
No, neither of these injuries, this is not great.
Yeah, you don't like these soft tissue issues that linger, especially, and this has been brought up this offseason as to why they added Zach Charbonnet. So many downs last year for this team. It was DJ Dallas, and it was Travis Homer, and you went into the season with a sports hernia issue for Kenneth Walker, and then he was out with an ankle injury, and here we are with a groin injury. This is why they draft a new one every year.
They drafted a few. Like
McIntosh,
Kenny,
right?
Yeah, Kenny McIntosh is there. I would assume that DJ Dallas is now the acting one, but Kenny McIntosh, he was an interesting prospect, and now he's going to get plenty of time to show
running,
who he is.
Yeah, he's been running with the ones, looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, he was more of a pass-catching back in college, McIntosh was, so I don't know how that fits here as a replacement for either Walker or Charbonnet, but the Charbonnet news to me is something that whenever you use the word indefinitely, it makes me hold my breath. It's like, Don't say that. Just say we're not sure yet. Don't scare me like that.
So do you like Kenny McIntosh, or are you more of a Tank Dell man?
Tank Dell.
Okay. Yeah, that was I was going really back in time there, but nobody really picked up on that.
No.
You don't remember those old commercials? The no. Mac versus Dell commercials that we had for years
yes.
and years
okay.
and years?
Okay.
Go ahead. You have the cricket?
No,
button. I don't have it.
I mean, what? Okay.
Busted.
I don't know
That's
what else
all you have?
I didn't realize you were going. I didn't know you were going Dell. I was trying to figure out my Kenny Mac.
That's what the commercials were, right?
Yes, yes.
Like for years.
Oh, no. It was Mac versus PC.
It wasn't a Dell.
No, that was,
okay.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Hold on. Are there any buttons I can push for my own self here?
I need a time machine.
See, the joke's not funny then. It wasn't funny anyways.
I wasn't following it. I thought it was talking about
Mac
how big.
It was versus PC.
Because yeah. Kenny McIntosh was like, he's 6 foot, 204.
Jason just answered.
Yes.
He just answered.
Good for you.
Like wide receiver versus running back.
You're trying to pick up your friend here.
Thanks. It's a computer joke. Welcome to the show.
Oh, man. It was bad.
Dalvin Cook didn't sign.
Yet.
I don't know if he does. Was in New York. Crowd chanting his name, meet and greet, watched a practice, hung out,
had all
public
the
interviews.
Hard Knocks film crew following him around for the day, so he'll be on the show.
You think Seattle's going to give him a call now?
Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. New England, that was a team that's going to meet with him as well. I still think he wants to play in Miami. I really do. I think that's where he wants them to come forward and give him a contract. And Mike McDaniel spent about 2 minutes too long dancing around the question of whether Dalvin Cook would be added to the team. It's like, we love our running back room. It's really good. But Dalvin Cook's really great. But I think that's where Dalvin wants to play. But we don't have a contract yet. We also don't have a contract for Ezekiel Elliott, who met with the Patriots. Another running back. It seems inevitable that Ramondre will have a running mate at some point.
Yes.
All right.
It's just how high of a status of a player.
Yeah. Do we have like a sad song here,
man,
somewhere? Do you have anything back there, Al? Here we go. I mean, can a fireball burn too bright?
Yes, it can. A star can supernova and then turn into a black hole.
I mean, it didn't even get to...
Yeah, this was not a super... This just went into the water.
It illuminated nothing. Tim Patrick...
Hey.
Tim Patrick is, he left practice, feared to be an Achilles injury. He's not going to play.
Yeah, we don't have the official confirmation as of right now, but an Achilles injury, they usually know pretty quick if it is actually torn.
It was non-contact, the video's bad.
Yeah, this is the second year in a row now for Tim Patrick for a training camp preseason leg injury. The guy was already a bit older. It's real unfortunate.
Yeah, it stinks for him. It stinks for the organization. He signed a 3-year, very large contract, and he's probably
never...
This is
year two of it, right?
Yes. He's probably never going to play a single snap on that contract. But I'm happy he got the money because he was a lower drafted, older player. So, yeah, real shame. But
nope, we've updated the UDK.
Yep, that was updated immediately. I think Greg Dulcich is one of the players that is going to get the biggest bump in this situation. And it's not good for Russell Wilson.
No, and like Marvin Mims is just coming back into training camp. It's going to be hard to trust him early in the season. Kenny, KJ Hamler.
Yeah, they're waiving him. He has.
Oh, he was waived.
Yes, he has
non-football injury designation, a heart issue.
Yeah, I don't. Pericarditis.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try it.
Nailed it.
Hey, I did. I did my best. But yeah, he's
Tank Dell.
Nice. But it's like Hamler's unfortunately got his stuff going on, but they were willing to waive him. So he hasn't been able to stay on the field. Regardless,
the condition he's suffering with is not considered serious. He would miss weeks, not months. Sterling Shepard back off of the PUP.
Hey.
There you go. What if Zeke ended up in New England? What do you think of Zeke in New England? Where would he end up in your rankings?
Not very high. I mean, I even if Zeke,
would you look at him like Damian Harris last year, or worse?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid comp. No matter what, Ramondre's the number one for the New England Patriots. It's just how annoying is the number two going to be? And Zeke would probably get in there. He'd steal some goal line and things, but I think they'd keep Ramondre as the pass catcher over Zeke.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. You can learn more at usaa.com/insurance. You guys ready to mock?
Let's go.
Wait, are you ready to
mock a lock a ding dong?
Still yes.
I think that's the first time I've actually hit the drop. People have been upset.
Yeah, I was about to hit my verbal drop. Mock a lock a ding dong. Let's go, baby.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
Also known just as speaking.
That's my verbal drop, Mike.
I thought you did all the drops.
That was a verbal drop too, though.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
I was about to hit my own button.
My verbal drop sounds like this.
All right, mock draft. Here we go. The Deucers are involved. They're going to be drafting their own team. One team for Team Deucers. So that would be three guys, one bad team. You guys ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
12 team, half PPR. Draft spots were randomly determined. I have the number two spot. Mike at 5, Jason at 10, and the Deucers are at pick 6. So it'll be fun seeing them and Mike battle it out, steal from one another. The mock draft settings, 12-team half PPR, like I said, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receivers, one tight end, one flex, four bench. We have had this question, and I'm gonna throw it to you two before we get it going. The question of just like what's the utility of mock drafting? Where do you find the greatest benefits of going through the exercise? I know these episodes are obviously very popular, so people want the information of where players are going. But what about you individually?
For me individually, I think there's two main takeaways. There's places in the draft. Like, am I drafting from early, you know, near the 1-2 turn? Am I in the middle of the draft? Am I at the end of the round? Because it really changes, like, especially in the first few rounds, you're pretty much drafting very close to ADP. The players are all kind of correct in the order. And so it gives you good strategy of here's what to do if I'm at this spot. But the other thing, and it's all about positions. It's all about when to take what position. What rounds do I hate the running backs? What rounds do I love the wide receivers? Prepare for what you know is coming earlier, and you go, oh, I love the wide receivers in this area, so I really want to have running backs early, and you can only find that out by mock drafting.
All right, let's kick this thing off. First pick, Justin Jefferson, which means I will take the layup. I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey. I know I could choose anyone in the world, but Christian McCaffrey is where I'm going to go. The running back position, when you know you can get guaranteed production, still my favorite position to draft. But I don't blame anybody going Jefferson at 101. He is he is guaranteed to make a huge impact on your team as well. So after McCaffrey, Ja'Marr Chase goes 103, then Eckler. So because of the back and forth between wideout and running back, Mike, you are obligated to take a wide receiver.
Oh, well, perfect, because I was going to do that anyways. I'm not thinking about Travis Kelce here. It's with the elite wide receiver still on the board. And it's going to be Cooper Kupp for me. Tyreek Hill is perfectly fine there for me, but Cooper Kupp, just remember what he was doing. Like, Justin Jefferson has all the headlines and everything because Cooper Kupp got hurt halfway through the season. But through that point, when Cooper Kupp was not injured, I mean, he was dominating even Justin Jefferson at that point in a points per game. So Cooper Kupp, still great. Matthew Stafford, they're going to run it back at least one more time. So I still have full confidence that Cooper Kupp is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, when you're getting headlines right now at a training camp about the performance of, DeMarcus Robinson earning snaps in the offense and Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua. And, yeah, that just means Cooper Kupp's going to get 100,000 targets.
Yes.
Yeah, he might hit 200 targets, like, legitimately.
I mean, this is a fragile situation, I believe, in Los Angeles because you have a bad O-line and you have a quarterback that's got chronic injury problems.
Sure.
But as of now, There's no reason Cooper Kupp couldn't be the best pick in this draft at 105. The Deucers. Who is going to be officially making picks over there? I know you're working together with your you're all one mind.
Yeah, Kyle gets the final say, but I'll be announcing our picks for us.
Okay. Well, 106, Cooper Kupp just went. What's the pick going to be?
And with pick 106, this is the Deucer select Tyreek Hill.
Oh, mercy. How many more picks do they have?
That's a first round thing, I think.
What is... We give you a team, and this is what happens?
That's exactly what happens.
They received feedback from YouTube and from the listeners that make them...
Puffed up.
Puffed up.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, we love the Deucers.
Stop empowering the Deucers.
Vote for hashtag Team Deucers on socials.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, no. This is getting ugly.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. What? Okay, I didn't realize this was going to happen. Tyreek Hill is the pick, huh?
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Travis Kelce went next. Saquon, Bijan, Jason.
Oh, Jason, you almost got Bijan.
I would have taken him had he been there at 110. I you know, I've spent most of this offseason bypassing Bijan because he's so high. He's being drafted, you know, at a ceiling. Like, you can't be much better than the running back four.
Yeah, but have you seen the videos of him in one-on-one drills against linebackers, hitting him with like triple and quadruple moves, and then shocking, the linebackers in 1v1s can't keep up.
Yeah, the nice thing, though, is that's who he's going to be matched up against in the NFL game, and so it's going to be so beautiful. That being said, right now, I would like to get Nick Chubb. I believe he will come back to me based on ADP. So I'm going to play the ADP game here, being near the turn, and I'm going Stephon Diggs.
I don't like that.
All right, Diggs, Lamb, and Mahomes round out the first round.
Oh,
keep
man.
The suspense. We'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here, to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not. But our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right, Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Patrick Mahomes round out the first round. Then Johnny Taylor still going at 201 there, which, look, he was the RB4 off the board. I think he goes RB5 here. Derrick Henry, second round pick. Back to Jason, played the ADP game, won the ADP game.
I will select Nick Chubb.
Which would not have been the case had you gone Chubb at 110, and you would not have ended up with Stephon Diggs. A run of wideouts after Nick Chubb, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Jalen Waddle. Is that surprising, Garrett Wilson going ahead of A.J. Brown to you?
A little bit, but I get it. All the messaging. Oh, I guess he has a low ankle sprain now. But before that, we were getting just nonstop highlights out of Jets camp.
The Jets publicity team is going to drive ADPs to an unhealthy place.
They're working overtime over there, which they should. Good for you.
But
get out there.
Hard Knocks will produce a bump in people's interest on certain players. So Wilson ahead of Brown is probably going to be the norm. Unfortunately, we're back to the Deucers now, who took Tyreek Hill in the first round and have another selection ahead of Mike.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Let's find out the pick.
All right, Team Deucers is going with Josh Jacobs here. We're going to take the chance.
Josh Jacobs at 207, Mike. Would that have been a threat to you where you're picking?
It would have been in consideration for my pick. Very disappointed that the bit only lasted one round. I mean, that's disappointing.
I am also disappointed, equally thrilled. it's a real battle in my heart.
Understandable. So I'm going to – all the mock drafts that we have done, I don't know that I've gotten this player or not, but Josh Jacobs would have been in consideration for me. I do have him actually ranked a couple spots ahead of Tony Pollard, but with everything going on for training camp, I mean, the risk of Josh Jacobs to me, it will rise. We're still not 100% sure that Josh Jacobs is going to show up for week one. I think he will, but we don't know as of the recording of this show. So I'm going to go with Tony Pollard, who the Dallas Cowboys' new starting running back. I have him sitting right now as my running back 6.
Oh, I knew when you started talking running backs, I knew what happened in Andy's heart. He was so excited to have Davante Adams fall all the way to him. He wanted it so badly. And he did not get it.
The word Jason saw into my soul, not only was that exactly accurate, however, I also said to myself, if he goes, I'll at least take Tony Pollard to go along with Christian McCaffrey. I feel like I feel like it was two.
You get nothing.
It was two tier breaks, in my opinion. Davante Adams, I brought it up a couple shows ago. He's being stupidly underrated right now. In this draft, he is the wide receiver, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 off the board. That is going to prove really ridiculous, in my opinion. And then Tony Pollard, look, the threat of another back showing up there doesn't seem like it's coming to fruition. Why would you when you have somebody like Deuce Vaughn in the backfield to help contribute with Tony Pollard? Zeke out meeting with other teams.
Do you think that they look at Tony Pollard as a true workhorse because of Deuce Vaughn? Like, they look and they're like, Tony Pollard is huge. He's just gigantic. You know, he looks like Derrick Henry now. Is that
relative to
Deuce Vaughn?
Like, if they're standing in that room, they think they have different sized players.
Yeah, they're
as
like,
as long as they don't stand next to other players.
Exactly.
No, I don't think that's what's happening. Right. I think Deuce Vaughn's just really, really teeny, and everyone knows it. And he's going to hide behind the line, and no one's going to find him.
They're definitely.
He's 5'5", 172.
There is an advantage.
That?
Like that, it being that small, like, he will disappear. I don't know if it's going to work, but
could he run conceivably under his lineman's legs?
Oh, like freeze tag?
Like go? Yeah, to release
like tunnel
him.
Tunnel tag going?
Yeah, just go underneath.
Maybe. I mean, he would have to army crawl.
I don't know if he would.
Just a dive.
Or just like a limbo?
Just a dive.
Yeah, I just think he may be able to straight run through.
There are, I mean, the players have been talking about that. The players have been talking about how it is difficult to find him, to see him, and there is an advantage.
Is
there. He's one of my favorite last round picks right now in best ball.
Genuine question, and probably not the kind that you say publicly, but is it offensive if I called him a hobbit?
Hmm.
Would that
be? I don't
know.
It's a fantastical creature. And
like
I love
people
hobbits.
Love hobbits.
I
love
do. I would have to
What's
see
the
his,
hairy feet situation.
I'd have to see his feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know. How about this? I won't call him that, but if he emails me and asks me to, I will.
Okay.
That's fair.
So I am at the edge here of the second round. I'll be picking quickly in the third. And to me, the running back situation right now, just to lay it out there, I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I love the training camp reports that he's been heavily involved in the passing game, and he doesn't leave the field. When Montgomery plays running back, Gibbs is staying on the field. That's one of the things coming out of camp. ETN, tons of passing game work. I think his upside is tremendous. Najee, I have a strict don't draft policy. Ramondre, I'm still skittish. Brees, skittish. So at wide receiver, I do see the value right now in drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that is the next tier. I'm going to take him here and see what happens in the next round. Brees went next. Josh Allen went after that. And I'm back on the clock.
Yeah.
So love Olave at wide receiver. Ramondre still on the clock. Third round. I think that's going to end up being my pick. Mike has him the highest of our group. Still a little afraid of what's heading their way, but I know that this offense, the identity, Bill O'Brien coming in, I know Ramondre is going to play a big role there. And I can afford a little bit of inconsistency at running back. Man, but would I take Gibbs? The last second guessing. I would like to know how far apart these guys are. One moment, please.
In your ranks?
Yeah, I mean,
they're like, for me, they're actually very far apart, but that's because Ramondre is very...
For you, they are. Yeah, Ramondre, I have at... Yeah, they're pretty far apart. Okay, we'll go with Ramondre. It's hard when you're in this position, by the way, and knowing you have to wait a million picks before your next one, but I'm going to take Ramondre to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I wish was Davante Adams. All right, after Ramondre... T. Higgins, Mark Andrews. We're going to talk about Higgins a little tomorrow. I'm just going to tease that. Mike has Cooper Kupp and Tony Pollard so far.
Hold on. I mean, this, I don't know, that's super important. I don't have a breaking news button. Hit it for me.
I got you.
Breaking news.
So speaking of the Cowboys and their running back situation, Cowboys running back Ronald Jones, this is a tweet coming out from Field Yates. Ronald Jones has been suspended for the first two games of the 2023 regular season. I don't know if he's going to be on the team.
I don't think he is going to be on the team.
That's interesting. So
do we know why?
We're going to look into it and confirm what it is before.
Performance enhancing.
Did you confirm it?
Yeah.
Okay. So... And you only two games?
There's two types, so I think that means it's the obviously the lesser.
Okay, I got you.
Maybe he took performance reducing?
Seems like it.
I mean, is that a two game for the reducing kind?
Oh, man. Oh, we are unkind today. Yes, so that is what happened. So Andy took Ramondre, who would have been a strong consideration for me, then Higgins, then Mark Andrews. I was strongly considering Mark Andrews because I want to see what that build would actually look like, taking Mark Andrews in the third, one of Jason's favorite third-round picks. I have no disagreement.
I thought about it at 302 just for the fun of it.
I have no disagreements with it. Then it comes down to, you know, it's the rankings. Like, I have my actual projections, and there's some head versus heart here because I do have Keenan Allen ranked higher than Chris Olave. But when you're going for upside, we know who Keenan Allen is at this point, which I think is great. I think Keenan Allen's going to be fantastic. But if Chris Olave makes the jump that I am projecting, and all the buzz out of New Orleans is coming hot and heavy for Mr. Olave, I'm going to take him there to pair him with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and he didn't even need the bus. He just needed last year's tape.
Yes.
The Deucer's back on the clock with Tyreek Hill and Josh Jacobs. It's your third round pick.
Yeah, we're having a tough call here.
You can't get Mark Andrews.
You're thinking. Okay, the pick is in, everybody. The pick is in.
The pick is in. Okay. It's hard to find a quick consensus. I applaud you. Hopefully it's a bad pick.
Team Deucers is going with Devonta Smith right here.
Oh.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, I think that I like Devonta Smith more than T. Higgins, who went a few picks ahead. So
over Keenan Allen.
I was shocked.
Is Kyle running this team or not?
Yeah, Kyle must have left, because to not draft his guy, Keenan Allen, there, especially after you talked him up, you're like, I might draft him here. That's embarrassing, and I think he needs to get rid of the tattoo.
Now, have you you've seen the Quentin Johnston highlight reel that is constant through Twitter right now? You still have Mike Williams, Eckler. Is there a chance that it's just more distributed there?
Absolutely, it's a chance. We're going to talk a little bit more about Keenan Allen tomorrow. I'll just tease that right there.
Najee Harris went after Devontae Smith, Travis Etienne, and Lamar Jackson. Jason's on the clock where he will be selecting.
I will be selecting a running back. I was really hoping Najee would get to me. I know Andy and I disagree on what his value is, but he's just going to touch the ball so much. Where we don't disagree is believing that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be great. So I will grab him instead at the end of the third round.
So Gibbs to join Chubb and Diggs, Kenneth Walker next, Keenan next, Metcalf and Debo. Jason, you are back on the clock. One wide receiver, two running backs on your roster so far.
Yeah, this is where it's a little tough for me. If I was a little bit further on, I would maybe look at Fields or Herbert. Right now, I feel like it's a little too early for them when there are other players that I really like. And so I'm going to continue drafting players I think are great.
Okay, that's a good strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
And I'm going to take Terry McLaurin.
Oh.
To the shock of no one.
No,
I'm actually.
Are you shocked?
I am shocked.
No, I am shocked. I thought your 310 was going to be Joe Mixon. And then you took Jahmyr Gibbs over to Joe Mixon. I'm like, okay, I don't mind it. I get it. Let's go with the guy who could catch 70 plus passes. And then Joe Mixon just comes right back for him. Like, oh my gosh, this Stephon Diggs and ultimate high T three running backs here of Chubb, Gibbs, and Mixon. Like, that's an unbelievable start. But you balked at it and you said, no, I'm getting Terry McLaurin.
I wanted balance. I wanted the two running backs, two wide receivers.
Joe Mixon's not even like anywhere close to a player who I love to get on my teams. That would have been an easy smash.
Okay. All he right. didn't do it.
Yeah.
Not with TMC sitting there on the Mount Rushmore of
wide
fantasy
receiver
stars. Aaron Jones went after Terry McLaurin. Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Deucers back on the clock. Unfortunately, Keenan Allen is gone, Kyle. Tyreek Hill, Devontae Smith, Josh Jacobs, and here you are.
And this, Kyle, I am drafting a letter to the Keenan Allen fan club as we speak.
You will get
your membership
revoked. Yeah. You'll have to send back all of those pins that you got.
Signed photos.
Well, I think Al and I might be bullying Kyle into this pick a little bit as well, and it's a bit of a reach. But
now that I don't mind.
The upside is too great. We are taking Alexander Mattison here at the 407.
Alexander Mattison at 407 ahead of Mike's pick.
I thought I had an easy pick. I was just be like,
where are you going that direction?
I was going to go Alexander Mattison. Let's move it along. I was going to at least bring up the discussion of J.K. Dobbins and being it's so frustrating. Like heading into this season, was really ready to have what I would have seen the J.K. Dobbins breakout, or I would project it. I thought he was going to be fantastic. He's still on the pup. We don't know what's going on fully. We are speculating that it is the contract situation. I still have him ranked pretty high. Jay, where? Because you've been kind of with me on your infatuation for J.K. Dobbins. Where are you sitting with him currently? Have you moved him in your rankings? Are you adjusting?
Yeah, I've cooled on him a little bit. I still believe he is exceptionally talented, and I want pieces of the Ravens. I believe they're going to be a good offense that plays a little bit faster, scores more points this year, and has a healthy Lamar. But there's, you know, the fact that he's still dealing with some injuries scares me. He's dealt with injuries. You know, that's the problem. It's like when he's on the field,
August
he's great.
Now.
Yeah, it's time for him to be out there. He's not out there, so I've cooled.
All right, then I'll change it over to looking at the wide receiver position. You know, we got Amari Cooper, Hopkins, Drake London, who I'm starting to rise on the prospects of Drake London.
Mac Hollins for life.
We haven't discussed.
No, we haven't.
The Mac Hollins quotes.
Here's the thing about Mac Hollins is that legitimately in his rookie season where he was with Philadelphia, he looked like a normal sized person to me. And then he played in Miami. And we're like, when did he get that big?
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been the same place Ronald Jones went. I mean, he is enormous now. Year over year,
he
gets bigger. Like an eighth of his body gets, he gains an eighth of a size every year.
And I don't know how this talking got started, but Mac Hollins is now a wide receiver. He's on the Atlanta Falcons.
Somehow, you want some quotes?
Yeah. Oh, do you have them in front of you?
I do.
Yes. Somehow food was brought up.
I don't even like people who eat with utensils. Eat with your hands. That's what they're there for.
I don't like them.
The best part is, that's everybody. Yeah. That means he doesn't like anyone.
So,
And then there's a quote about soup.
Yeah, he says when eating, then he was, the follow up is, hey, what about soup? What do you do? He says, you shouldn't be eating soup in the first place. He also has pet snakes. He doesn't wear shoes.
Oh, yeah. His quotes about feeling the ground with his feet. I mean, that's a big boy.
Hashtag never soup. For Mac Hollins, those quotes are sensational.
Yeah. So, is it Mac Hollins here, Mike?
It is. It is not. I mean, gosh, I really want it to be J.K. Dobbins.
Why don't you show a little confidence in two legs?
Yeah. All right, I'm doing it. It's J.K. Like J.K. Dobbins and Madison are back to back in my rankings. I was going to let the fact that Madison's there and Dobbins is not make the decision for me, but. I think he's such an incredibly talented player, and I believe in the Ravens' offense that if he is there, he will outperform his fourth round ADP.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you took him because DJ Moore went next, who I like. Amari Cooper in the fourth round, I like him there too. But this draft fell in a way where I get to draft the player that I'm really wanting to draft right now. It's Calvin Ridley.
Ooh. Yeah, if Calvin Ridley was going to be the choice, had I not.
Been
caped up here for J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled to combine, McCaffrey and Stevenson with Amon-Ra and Calvin Ridley. That is one pick that worked out. Kyle Pitts went next. I don't know if you saw the clip of Kyle Pitts once again beating his man and being horribly mistargeted by.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it. It's the past and the future. DeAndre Hopkins goes at 501. What do you think about that pick? We saw training camp. Video of Mr. Hopkins.
Yeah, I've really had a hard time with Hopkins. I every time that I'm in a draft and I see him and I'm near ADP, I just pinball back and I'm like, oh, he's wide receiver
Hopkins.
20.
Yeah.
He's the wide receiver one there. He's going to be great. And then I'm like, he's old.
AJ Brown was great there.
Yeah. I will say this. It's not so much for Hopkins' value, but the Titans, I think they're going to be much better than people think.
Yeah, I mean, not me and Mike, of course, because we picked them to win the division.
Yes.
But other people.
The world at large.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is good, because I went Ridley, hoping that Miles Sanders would come back around. Miles Sanders at the top of the fifth. Thank you very much. I'm going to select you. So Miles Sanders joining the squad. Could have gone with a quarterback there. I know we all like Justin Herbert. Could have gone with an upside, a Fields or Lawrence. But right now I am stacking talent. Mike, you're back on the clock. Hawkinson and Damian Pierce went next. You have Cooper Kupp and Olave at wideout, Pollard and Dobbins at running back.
Yes, I am perfectly balanced. The tight end position is of no interest to me right now. Quarterback is pretty interesting. Getting Justin Fields here at the 5.5, I think that's okay. It's still, I still don't love getting these quarterbacks that early. I guess just maybe years and years and years of that not being an optimal strategy. But in the fifth to get Justin Fields, Justin Fields can be the quarterback one if the passing actually improves this year with DJ Moore. And then at the running back position, we're looking at Cam Akers, James Conner, that kind of seems to be like an off-season long decision of, is it Cam Akers or is it James Conner? But I mentioned that I am rising a bit on Drake London, second-year wide receiver from the Atlanta Falcons. We just made fun of what happened with Kyle Pitts, and I understand that is a risk for the Atlanta Falcons that the quarterbacking doesn't get better.
Or they just run because they can with Tyler Algier and
absolutely.
Bijan.
But it's the same as like DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm not saying Drake London is DeAndre Hopkins at this point, but
will be third downs.
But Drake London is an excellent wide receiver. He underperformed at the touchdown area last year. Should he have, scored the expected amount of touchdowns, like he would have had a perfectly a really strong rookie campaign, obviously much stronger. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Drake London. I'm going to see what this team is like with two second-year wide receivers.
The Deucers, back on the clock after their reach for Madison.
By one spot, by the way.
By one spot. Tyreek Hill, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Smith.
Also, how dare you?
Alex Madison.
I glanced over this. How dare you call Alexander Madison a reach in the middle of the fourth round? That is nonsense.
Who are you yelling at?
I'm yelling at the Deucers.
Oh, okay.
Because they said it's a little bit of a reach.
It isn't by ADP, but by time drafts come around, you're probably right. He's going to be right around there or higher.
Give me Miles Sanders. All right, Deucers, you're on the clock.
All right, we are taking Justin Herbert. Wrong Justin.
Rope-a-dope.
So here's where we're at. Jason just cried out like a wounded animal. Justin Herbert and Justin Fields went back to back. So Herbert to the Deucers. Fields went next. Jason and I both have Herbert one spot ahead of Fields. Mike has Fields one spot ahead of Herbert. Then went back to back. Kittle,
Kyle,
went at 508.
This isn't redemption for passing on Keenan Allen by taking his quarterback over Justin Fields. Just letting you know.
Kittle, Godwin, and Jason on the clock. Were you crying out because you wanted a quarterback?
Like Herbert. I wanted Herbert or Fields, but I really wanted. This is where I say when you're at the 110, where I'm drafting from the beginning of the fourth is too early because sometimes they can make it all the way back to you in the fifth. And when I was looking at the board, I realized team 8, team 9, they already have quarterbacks. So when you didn't select Fields, I knew that I get one of those two so long as the Deucers don't take a quarterback. But they did. I was upset, and now I'm looking at running back, and it's the conversation that Mike said earlier.
Akers-Connor?
Is it Cam Akers, or is it James Connor? You go back and forth. I could make narrations for each one being the better player. I want to go for upside. This is my running back 3. Who do I think could really be more special? And I believe that Cam Akers, being a younger player who could be on the better offense if he is given the role that we saw him have as just a complete dominant, like the backfield touches towards the end of last year were crazy, then he should be able to have a really, really solid season.
All right, Jerry Jeudy at 5'11". I think that's a good pick there. Went right after Cam Akers, Christian Watson, James Conner, and DeAndre Swift, rounding out the fifth round and early sixth round before Jason is back on the clock.
I am back on the clock, and now I'm looking at a couple of wide receivers. I love Mike Williams. I love Marquise Hollywood Brown here. And, I draft Tyler Lockett everywhere. I think there are three really, really good options. So when I'm considering how do I tie break here, I'm looking at what do I have. I've got Diggs and I've got McLaurin already on my roster. Diggs is going to be a consistent force. McLaurin will probably be a little bit more hit and miss. I feel like I want more targets, more consistency, more volume. And I think Hollywood Brown will have that throughout the season. He'll be better when Kyler is back. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, whether it's week 1, week 4. But he'll come back. And in the meantime, even when Kyler's not there, he's going to be getting 10 targets a game. He'll be consistent, and getting a guy like that in the sixth round, I'm happy with Hollywood.
Michael Pittman, Dalvin Cook, Mike Williams went next. Deucers back on the clock with Mike right after him.
All right. Deucers are going with Brandon Ayuk in the sixth round.
Brandon Ayuk in the sixth. I always like to see where him and Debo go. Debo was the second pick of the fourth round. Ayuk, the seventh pick of the sixth round. I think both those players are having huge years. Mike, you're on the clock.
Tyler Lockett.
Well, that's unfortunate what just happened. Lockett off the board, Christian Kirk, and then the pick I was going to make was Trevor Lawrence.
For the stack
with Calvin Ridley, which is not going to happen because he went right before me. So that's cool. I've got a couple players that I am looking at here. I'm going to take my quarterback. It was Lawrence and Tua, and then I feel like a big potential tier break. So I'll take Tua here because the actual player I'm going to gamble on is a tight end named Darren Waller, who I'd like to take with my next pick. Team one has Kyle Pitts already, so I'm going to take Tua here. They also have a quarterback, so works both ways. Fine. But I'm going to take Tua. They took Treylon Burks, and they took Javonte Williams. And we're going to come back around.
How much Javonte stuff have we – like, I'm losing track of the days. Did we talk about that Javonte Williams was – they said he's cleared for contact, or he said he's cleared for contact?
I know that we discussed on the show the fact that he didn't go on the PUP and the importance of that.
Yeah.
I think we did not mention the specificity of cleared for contact, which is really impressive.
All right, I'm actually not taking Darren Waller here.
Oh.
There are a couple of tight ends I like, five tight ends off the board, and I'm willing to figure it out later because I like the value, once again, in the seventh round of a player I'm going to talk about a lot this offseason. Mike Evans in the seventh round of this draft. Mike Evans is the second pick of the seventh round. Godwin was the ninth pick of the fifth round. Both guys undervalued in this draft, in my opinion. Rashad White, his teammate, goes next. Dotson. Mike, was that a sound?
It was Rashad White.
Okay, so Rashad White went off the board. You've taken Drake London and Tyler Lockett the last two rounds. You are back on the clock.
So the running backs are – I'm with you, Andy, that Darren Waller is rising up my projections. I'm starting to get very excited for what he could do as the true number one target for Daniel Jones. We're making all these the hullabaloo of who's the wide receiver, and they have 15 slot wide receivers, and like it, I think it might just be Darren Waller. They traded for him. We saw what happened with Bellinger. I can't think of his first name.
Daniel
Bellinger, who was a rookie, and not that he had a prolific year, but it was a rookie tight end was
productive.
Overproductive for what he should have been. So I'm very into Darren Waller, but the running backs are starting to get to a kind of a scary point here. Montgomery is very interesting, as is my former champion, who may be maybe he's back to my champion. And I don't think he'll make it back to me, but this is definitely an ADP stretch, but I'm going to take Antonio Gibson.
All right. Mike gets his guy, Antonio Gibson. Brooks, the Deucers are back on the board. You took Ayuk last round.
The Deucers are going with David Montgomery at running back.
Yeah.
That's fair.
He was one of the great running backs still left on the board. Kamara went next. Look, for whatever you want to say about Kamara's career, decline.
Yeah.
The late seventh round is wild. Deontay Johnson, Dallas Goedert, who is another tight end I've ranked very highly. Jason, you're on the clock.
Yeah, so when I look at quarterback, there's kind of the top seven guys, and then after that I punt. So there's really only one quarterback afterwards where I'm considering, and that was Tua. Andy took him. So that's not in consideration. I've got three running backs, three wide receivers. So I'm going to go look at tight end, see is there someone that stands out there. And to me, there's, Darren Waller, I know, is the highest in ADP. My highest ranked would be Pat Freiermuth. Once you're past those, Mark Andrews, maybe if Pitts falls, I just would rather take Dulcich late or something like that. So now I'm saying, okay, I'm balanced. I can go wide receiver. I can go running back. And there's a wide receiver that I have not drafted yet. I haven't drafted because early on he was being drafted too high. He was being drafted ahead of Tyler Lockett. But I really do love the talent of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's great. He's a phenomenal wide receiver. He's been making waves at camp. And
they don't have any running backs anymore.
Right. And a quarterback that I might grab later it could be Geno. So I like adding him here. And now it has come back to me.
Dak, Pacheco, A.J. Dillon, and Darren Waller. Finally off the board.
Waller would not have made it past me had he made it to me in the eighth.
Yeah, it's slightly comforting, Mike. Thanks.
So I have three running backs with Gibbs, Akers, and Chubb. I'm questioning, can I just be good with that, or will I need more players later? Because what I would like to do here is go with another rookie wide receiver. I was very close to doing this with my last pick, but I hadn't drafted JSN. I'm going to add Jordan Addison to the roster. And so my wide receivers, I think, are – I've got some high upside after knowing that Diggs is locking down my wide receiver one.
One of the best things I've ever done in fantasy was go all in on rookie wide receivers last year in our League of Record draft. I was depleted picks-wise, and I went – I think I drafted four or five. It was Olave. It was Garrett Wilson. It was Treylon Burks and a couple others. And it proved so valuable for trade capital – and for my team having some productivity, because they do make an impact quick. Like if Jaxon Smith-Njigba comes out and dominates in week one, that will not be shocking to me. All right, Kadarius Toney, Quentin Johnson, another rookie, George Pickens, Deucers, and Mike next up.
All right, we were hoping Johnson got back for the stack, but he didn't. So we are going with Rashad Penny here.
That'll probably make Mike upset.
I mean, I'm just glad someone else got to do it.
So
for once.
When they play you this year and Rashad Penny and Madison are going up against you, how will that feel?
It will feel terrifying because they're both going to be great.
Okay.
But I actually would not have taken Rashad Penny here. I've waited on this wide receiver as long as I possibly could. I am taking Brandon Cooks of the Dallas Cowboys. Just a reminder, they traded to get Brandon Cooks. They desperately needed a number two. I know Michael Gallup's another year recovered from his ACL, and he still has that contract. But Brandon Cooks, to me, still looks like a receiver who has it. I think Dak is a good quarterback. And if he is helping stretch the field here with CeeDee Lamb, I think that Brandon Cooks is going to have just another Brandon Cooks type of season where he's excellent for fantasy.
Well, I've been sniped again. James Cook was the target at 8-11. He goes at 8-09. Zach Charbonnet off the board right before me. I'm going to turn to the starting running back for the Washington Commanders. I'm going to take Brian Robinson. He's the least sexy pick.
Yeah.
But even when you listen to Gibson comes out and talks about how he's in the J.D. McKissic role. Like, there is an early down role in Washington, and Brian Robinson was pretty good to end the year.
And some games, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was over four carry from week eight on, I think it was. And I think there's going to be value there. And running backs, when you have injuries happen, all of a sudden you're saying, wow, I wish I had more of them. I'm going to take him there. And then looking at wide receiver, I'm going to shoot a shot at a rookie in Zay Flowers.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
All right. I am watching Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Watson go off the board. Mike, you are on the clock. You and Jason, neither of you have a quarterback yet. Neither of you have a tight end yet. Three picks left.
That is a good reminder. Because I have my pick all queued up. I don't know how much it will impact the entirety of Team Deucers, but I know that one of them is going to groan. I will take the starting running back for the Chicago Bears. Mm. I will draft Khalil Herbert.
Nice pick, Mike.
Oh, I thought
Mike.
It was Roshan.
Brooks.
It's not Roshan.
All right, Brooks, you're back on the clock. The Deucers with another pick here.
All right, Team Deucers is going with Gabe the Babe.
What?
Gabe Davis.
Babe Davis. All right, Evan Engram, Pat Freiermuth off the board.
Gabe the Babe.
Not sure how I feel about that.
I mean, if he performs, I feel better.
Yeah.
He has some Babe weeks, but he's like the Seinfeld episode. The girl that Jerry dated that, like, in sometimes when you look at him, she's really beautiful. And then in the wrong light, he's like, you know, she keeps changing. That's sometimes Gabe. He's a babe.
All right.
He does have babe games. I mean,
he's got babe games.
He's his that playoff game was incredible.
Yeah.
All right. So I am on the clock now. I've got a lot of wide receivers, three running backs. Still need a tight end and a quarterback. This round I was eyeing Voldemort and Pat Freiermuth. Both of them went, and to me the gap between the next players available and where I can draft them in ADP says, let's get a running back on my roster. And since I have been loading up on rookies, why change that now? I'm going to take a player I believe in against my normal belief on small running backs. And there's been conversation and discussion.
You're going again, the deuce?
I am going Devon Achane.
Oh.
Boo. I thought I would go Deuce McAllister over Achane?
McAllister?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yes. Deuce McAllister.
I apologize, everybody. You've seen that Dell commercial lately?
The Deuce Caboose.
Yeah. Devon Achane's a much better pick than Deuce Vaughn.
Well, not when Dalvin Cook signs there.
Well, Dalvin Cook's not there as of this recording. So I still think Devon Achane will have a really good role, and they didn't spend a day two pick to not give him a lot of work, and he won't need much.
I don't know. I mean, we have Mike McDaniels. He's right out of that Kyle Shanahan tree, and we know what Kyle Shanahan loves more than anything. It's taking a third-round running back and never playing them ever.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
He could be your Trey Sermon this
year. Yeah, that is scary, but this isn't Shanahan. He's just from the tree.
Yeah.
We'll see how far that apple falls.
All right.
So now I'm looking, and I've gone three rookies in a row, and I need a tight end, and sitting there is Dalton Kincaid, and I will never, I will never do that. I don't draft rookie tight ends. It's against who I am. So I am grabbing Greg Dulcich, I think he's going to have a very good sophomore season.
All right, the Deucer's back on the clock after Richardson and Jamal Williams, Damian Harris. Who's the pick?
All right, we're going to grab our tight end here and take Chig.
Chig Okonkwo, not scared off by Hopkins' arrival. Mike, you were on the clock. Your last two picks, got to get a quarterback, got to get a tight end.
I am happy that Jason let Geno Smith pass to me, because I will take the Geno Tyler Lockett stack.
All right, Geno Smith, who looks like he's going to have to do even more right now with the injuries at running back, Elijah Mitchell, Rashad Bateman. I am eyeballing Dalton Kincaid, but I think I can take him with my final pick in this draft. So I will take Sky Moore in the 10th round and come around and grab Dalton Kincaid, my tight end, with the final pick of the draft. The camp reports on Dalton Kincaid, which, look, rookie tight ends are good at camp. That's when they get a lot of articles written about him. But he has been with the first team exclusively. He's been making big plays, and they're going to need him. So Daniel Jones goes next, Jacoby Myers, and then, Mike, your final pick, a tight end, please.
Yeah, I know who I have to pick here. I don't love it considering I have Cooper Kupp on my team, but Tyler Higbee is just, he's going to be usable. He won't be electric, but you shouldn't have too many weeks where you're like, oh, just getting a zero up.
He's a tight end.
Yes.
Yeah, there are how many tight ends in the NFL that you can realistically say have 100 targets coming this year? Like,
very
four?
Few.
There's not, and Higbee is probably one of them. Like, it's rare. He's just not very good.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. He's very fine. Yeah. I have a lot of Higbee.
Who scores more fantasy points in that offense? If you replace Dalton Schultz and Tyler Higbee, which one scores more in the exact same offense?
Dalton Schultz.
Okay. I would say they score the exact same.
I would say they score exactly the same. Yeah. All right. It's time for the Deucers to complete this draft. Do you have a special pick for your final pick?
We do. Our final pick, we're going with Tank Bigsby.
All right. Tank Bigsby.
Not Tank Dell?
Tank Bigsby, Jacksonville Jaguars rookie running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring up Tank Dell's name. That's weird.
Who would do that?
Adam Thielen, Jerick McKinnon, Cole Kmet. McKinnon's a good target late in drafts. Jason, you're back on the clock. Who's your latest late quarterback?
Well, my latest late quarterback is Matthew Stafford. He was my backup plan should they continue drafting all these teams two quarterbacks, which happened. But Aaron Rodgers fell to me, and I think getting him with my last pick, having him, with Garrett Wilson and company, he could still do something special.
He is my target if I'm punting the position, for sure. I think the upside there is tremendous. All right, I'm going to read you my final roster. We'll go around and do that. I'll give you the deucers as well. But McCaffrey, Stevenson, Miles Sanders, and Brian Robinson as my running backs. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Calvin Ridley, Mike Evans, Zay Flowers, Sky Moore at wide receiver. Tua is my quarterback. Dalton Kincaid is my tight end.
At wide receiver, I have Cooper Kupp, Chris Olave, Drake London, Tyler Lockett, and Brandon Cooks. My running backs are Tony Pollard, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, Khalil Herbert. Then Geno Smith, former quarterback five, is there as my quarterback.
You have to say it.
To stack with Tyler Lockett. And then Tyler Higbee at tight end.
I've got Aaron Rodgers and Greg Dulcich in my onesie positions. At wide receiver, I've got Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, Marquise Brown, JSN, Jordan Addison, a couple of rookies. And at running back, I've got Nicholas Chubb, Jahmyr Gibbs, Cam Akers, and Devon Achane.
Brooks, why don't you go ahead and give us the Deucers team? Do you mind?
I don't mind. Team Deucers, we have Tyreek Hill.
What's the hashtag, by the way?
Hashtag Team Deucers.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's on the nose.
All right. And we have Tyreek Hill, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk, and Gabe Davis at wide receiver. Josh Jacobs, Alexander Mattison, David Montgomery, and Rashad Penny, and Tank Bigsby at running back. Justin Herbert at quarterback. And Chig at tight end.
Maka laka ding dong.
All right, you can weigh in. I mean, I think we've got the Panda Bears over there.
Oh, we know where the votes are going.
Yeah, yeah. But that'll do it for today's episode of the show. But guess what, guys?
Yeah.
We have another show. Tomorrow.
Wow.
Ice and Fire.
Ooh. That's a good show.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Ranking shows coming up as well. See you then.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.